Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward as we open your word so that He can open our hearts and our minds to be responsive unto this your word, so that we can grow thereby in knowledge and wisdom, the knowledge of your word and the wisdom to use it, and to help us to walk along that pathway of righteousness in making heaven our home. And we know, Father, that we can only do these things through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name, that sweet, precious name of Jesus, that I ask this in prayer. Amen. All right, we're going to be in the 5th chapter of Mark. We closed out 4 this morning with them crossing the sea. Now they're crossing, but they haven't really left the seashore. They're close to it. They're on a mountain or hillside, but they're still close to the sea. And here's verse 1. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now here, he's talking about this man just having an unclean spirit. Verse 3, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he has been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now this man had some strength when chains and all would not hold him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. You know, he had to be kind of impervious to pain, to always be cutting himself, especially using stones. That's not the sharpest thing a man can pick up. Now, 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And you know, it's not the idea really that he's worshiping. He's afraid of him, and he's really not wanting him to be troubling them, because he's not there by himself, as we'll find out. 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." See, that's what he's afraid of. Now, 8. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Now he's calling this spirit out. 9. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So we know, you see, he's not by himself there. 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. 11. Now there was there, nigh to the mountain, a great herd of swine feeding. In other words, Scripture calls them swine. Today we call them hogs. Now, 12. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." They're wanting someplace to go, because they're not wanting to just be wandering around the country. 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. Now they went and entered into this herd of swine. The swine didn't want to eat it. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. 2,000 of these swine, all filled with demons, to the point that they run themselves and choked in the sea. 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, that they went out to see what it was that was done. Now they gone to see what's going on. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. All of them that have seen these great things from the Lord Jesus, they have great fear because they don't know what to make of it. And as this revival really gets going in this day and time, and mankind begins to see the things that are going on and the power of God, we're going to be seeing and facing some of these same things. There'll be those, pardon me, that belong to the Lord Jesus that will rejoice and be glad and walk with great joy in seeing and knowing what is being done. But there'll be more that is going to be walking in fear because even though they may never receive Jesus, they are going to know and feel inside themselves that there's things that they absolutely do not know that is happening. And they don't know what to do about it because they haven't taken the time to learn nor go to the places to where they could learn. Now, here in 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They're telling exactly what had taken place. 17. And they began to pray him to depart out of their hope. They're wanting to leave. They was this much misunderstanding and unbelief going on among these people. Even after all this happening. Now, 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He's wanting to follow him and go with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and has had compassion on thee. He's telling him to go now and to testify. of what has taken place within. Now, you know, there is a lot of us today that are believers that needs to be testifying to those that are walking in darkness of what Jesus has done for us and all of the things he has done. 20. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and men did marvel. This Decapolis was an area southeast of the Sea of Galilee, and it contained many Gentile settlers. Jesus seemed to have been more willing to make his deeds and identity known in a non-Jewish place. You see, in the Capernaum area, by contrast, he felt the need to maintain a lower profile. And the man tells what Jesus had done, although Jesus told him to speak of the Lord, the God of Israel. He's wanting him to tell about what has happened and tell of the Lord and of the God of Israel. Now, 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. He's close to the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now this is a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet. 23. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now he knows that Jesus can do this. He's got that much faith. 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In other words, this word throng, actually, that they are stressing, putting stress on him because they were physically being pushed up against Jesus. All of them just being pushed in on him and up against him and all. And now 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years this woman's blood been running, flowing. 26. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. But now, here in 27, says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. She was not supposed to be anywhere to where people could touch her or her reach out and touch anyone else, because those that would touch her or she touched became unclean. But here, she has touched the hem of his garment. 28. For she said, talking really to herself, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She's got strong faith. And in talking with herself, she's already proclaimed, touch will do. 29. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You see, she had said that if she just touched his clothes, she'd be whole. And when she touched him, she was. She was made whole. She was healed. 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him and turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? All these people around him being jostled around. Shoving in and out. And he's asking, who touched my clothes? But he already knew. But for their benefit, he's asking this. 31. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee? And sayest thou, who touched me? They couldn't believe he'd even asked that question. He really didn't need to, but he's doing it for their 32. And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She's confessed everything to him. 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You see, he told her that it was her faith that done it. It was her faith. What kind of faith are you walking in today? How strong is it? And what is it doing for you? Or are you even trying to use it? Are you even trying to learn how to use it? And what it's about? Now, 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, or certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. This young daughter, You see, he had stopped and all with this woman. And Jesus, knowing all this was going to happen, but he also knew what he was going to do about it and what it would bring about. And it goes on now that the ruler of the synagogue, which came and told him that his daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? You don't need to trouble him now. She is dead. 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, and the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the turmoil, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. For she was already dead. They're crying, moaning, and groaning, and wailing. 39. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was laying. Now they've all laughed him to scorn because they knew she was dead. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Kumma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. She's 12 years old. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. She was dead. Now she's live walking. 43. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Chapter 6 is a long chapter, so we're not going there this evening. We'll be taking up that in the morning. You see, it's 56 verses long. Now, but try to remember and meditate these two main things that has happened and how Jesus handled them. Well, actually, three. You've got the demon-possessed man that had a legion, had enough demons in him to make 2,000 swine run down the hill and drown themselves. Then the woman with the issue of blood. And then this young girl that he raised up by taking her hand. Meditate on these things. And get this brought into your heart and mind. That we serve a God that can do anything he wants to do with us. He can give us long lives, or he can take us out of this world as a young person. He knows each one of us. He knows how we will stand and whether we will stand and do what he asks of us to do or not. And when we walk in his word and we put our study and all in his word and we make him first in our lives, he's always there to bless us and to keep us until our work here on this earth is complete. And then he will take us home. But we must walk in complete obedience unto his word in our lives, doing what he asks. And we have no excuse, because when you are that born-again child of God, he has gave you all the power, all the authority to do and to complete anything he calls upon you to do. It will all depend on how you are living in this life. Think about it. Are you really living for him? Or are you following Satan, which will it be? You know, chapter 6, we're going to be dealing with a lot of things there. That's why I'm not going to get into it this evening. We're going to be dealing with unbelief in Nazareth. We're going to be dealing with Jesus sends as well to preach and to heal. John the Baptist being beheaded. Jesus feeding a multitude. Jesus walking on the sea. And Jesus heals many. A generate. These are all things that we're going to be dealing with in chapter 6. Now, so we are going to stop here for this evening. We have finished with chapter 5 there. And as I've asked you, read it over again for yourself and meditate on it. Because we have so many today that are taking verses away from their setting and other verses away from their setting and putting them together, twisting and turning them, adding to them and taking away from them to make them say things that God did not intend for them to say. And it is causing our land to become weak in the love of the Lord our God and the love of each other. And this is something that should not be done. We need to stand steadfast in God's word. But so many, they want to get out here and play with all instead of standing steadfast on the word of God and putting time in to study and for prayer. And that's what it takes. It takes time. It takes that study and it takes that talking with our Heavenly Father and listening to Him talk to us in order for you and I to be able to make heaven our home. Now, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for those to take the time to join with me in this study, Father, as we continue each and every day in your word. Of a morning to start our day at 10 a.m. Eastern time and to bring our day till close at 6 p.m., Father. And Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit to stay with each and every one. Work within their families, because we all have family members that are lost. They're walking in darkness. And I ask the Holy Spirit to work with them, talk with them, lead them to a place to where that they understand that they are in need of something more than themselves. They are in need of a Savior. And bring them, working with us, to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, may the Holy Spirit keep them in health, keep them safe, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, may they have peace. But more than that, Father, we're asking that they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has walked so far away and has grown into being in so much trouble. Father, in the last several years, statistics right now are showing that we have lost a little more than half of all of our churches. And we're not finished losing them yet. We see them all around us, Father, that have grown so weak that they can't operate much longer. And a lot of them has already made a statement that they're going to have to close by the end of the year. And it's all because, Father, of the misteaching of your word. That teaching contrary, things that is contrary to your word, and putting things in some of our churches that should never have passed through the front door. My Father, the leadership of this land, the leadership of our churches that is evil, we pray for them to be removed from office and to be replaced with those that belong to you, that is walking along the pathway of righteousness, that loves you and loves the Lord Jesus, loves us and the church, and will work with us to bring this land to and bring and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those of this ministry that has been with me now, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, myself, my wife. Father, touch us all with thy healing hand. Keep us going, Father. Keep us in your word. Keep us teaching this word as you want it taught. Not man's way, but according to your will and your way. And Father, as we get ready now to separate for this rest of this evening, and tonight, keep us safe. Bring us back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. and back into your word. Father, I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great evening. And a good night. Walk with God, and He'll walk with you. Have a good one now.